In this Shir Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to discuss, we introduced the concept in the previous Shir, that Oino is really not an absolute form of theft. And the reason for that is that there's no taking of somebody else's property. There's no false pretenses. I made you sell me something and I didn't really have in mind to, you didn't have in mind to sell that piece of property, so it's not sold. No, you had in mind to sell me this merchandise. I told you the price. We agreed on the price. We agreed on merchandise. The sale's a sale. The Torah comes along and the Torah says, but you've been taken advantage of even though you agreed, and the Torah protects you. This concept is the concept of Oino, and that's why there are limitations. We call the statute of limitations of Atchiyahu L'Tagor. It's not clear who could be Mevatel Oino. Maybe only the wrong party could be Mevatel Oino. Whereas, let's say we have a concept that we're going to Be'ez Hashem discuss further, which is Mekachtos. Mekachtos means a sale was not done. Let me give a small example just to illustrate this. If somebody sells something, let's say I sell you a car, and it turns out you drive the car out and I souped up the engine, but really 15 miles out, it's clear that the engine's not good, the transmission is shot. In all fairness, the sale wasn't done. It wasn't that you bought a car and the car is not living up to expectations. You didn't have in mind to buy that car, that type of car, that level of quality of car. It's not a misrepresentation of the price. And because of that, on such a case, there's no statute of limitations. This is what's called mekachtos. Mekachtos are not different in that context. The way we're explaining it is the way Chiddush Reb Chaim Halevi al Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, Perek Tes Vav, explains. And he explains that Oino is a sale that's chal. However, the rights of the disadvantaged party is taken care of, is protected, b'midah mesuyemes, Ayedei the Torah's laws of Oino. Mekachtos? Mekachtos means there's no mechira. So that's why how could there be a statute of limitations? There was no mechira. For that reason, let's say, anybody who puts up, any vendor who puts up a sign in his store that there's a no return policy, if there's something wrong with the goods, then that's gezel for the storekeeper to announce that, because there's no sale. A sale wasn't done on poor quality material. The fact that you say, well, there could be any problem, since it's not defined, the customer didn't walk out knowing what the problem is, the customer never accepted to buy that. So for all intents and purposes, it's as if the customer never bought that. Now, there's obviously a certain amount of gray area. Let's give a case, a halacha l'maaseh case, where you could see how you really need, as a dayan, you really need to have to sometimes issue a judgment call on whether something is oino or something is mekachtos. We have a halacha, and we're going to discuss Tzimitz Hashem in a few more minutes, that karka in lo yino, the din that the Torah protected the rights of the wrong party, that he could get back his money, he can nullify the sale in Bezdin, is a halacha that's only given by metalklin, not by karka. By karka, if somebody sells a piece of real estate, and the price actually was inflated, or vice versa, in this case that we'll soon give, a customer who sold something, not being aware of the true value of the piece of real estate, sold, undersold their piece of real estate, the halacha is that they're not protected by halachas of Oino. It could be, like we pointed out in the previous year, that the one who takes advantage of the other side is Oivir and Isser. But he won't be protected in Bezdin, the wrong party, to be able to be Mevatel Mechira. That being said, let's try on the following case for size. An older woman sells her apartment. She's been living in the same apartment. She lived there with her husband. She raised two generations there. She's getting older. She wants to move out of town near her kids into an assisted living facility. A real estate developer approaches her and offers what seems to be a fair sum of money, cash, which is always tempting, to buy that house. Unbeknownst to the elderly woman, she's certainly not, you know, in on developments in the real estate world, but the developer does know this. That whole area, that whole square mile is being rezoned and is going to turn into very pricey housing and high price shopping. That piece of real estate is not worth $500,000, but in a month or two when the plans go through, that house is going to be worth $1 million because it's not about the house. Somebody's going to level that house and put up a who knows what, in put it up as part of an industrial complex. That piece of land's worth two or three or four times the amount that the old woman thinks it is. She doesn't know. Is that a no? Is that a function of, well, she didn't know the price, or she didn't know what she was selling? She thought she was selling a simple one-family house, an older house, nice house, quaint, cute, selling it to a family. That's what she thought she was selling. She didn't realize that she was sitting on a piece of land in highly sought after in an industrial neighborhood. That might be a whole different thing. She didn't sell such a piece of land. She sold a house of a piece of property with a one-family home. That might cross the line from Oino to Mekaktois. There might be a lot of variations on that. A car that's misrepresented, that the engine, the transmission was souped up, but they really don't work, is clearly Mekaktois. What about a car that I just gave an extra coat of paint and I misrepresented the age? The car is fine. It's in good shape. But lefi the model number, or lefi the miles, the car would be worth that much because that's what the catalog of used cars would show. And in actuality, the car is worth something else. Is there a difference really in the quality of what you're getting? No. It might be a misrepresentation, only a price, in which case, so no. And there would be a statute of limitations. On the other hand, maybe not. Maybe it has a different amount of mileage. Maybe it's a different car. So these are all variables that have to play into a dayan's decision-making process and whether to make an award of bittul mekach in the case of, I know, where the wrong party wants to be involved. Well, this is something that's very important. This concept and the gray area between I know on the one hand, mekach tos on the other hand. Now, this leads us to the halacha that we pointed out before, but let's flesh that out a little bit. The halacha that karka ein lo yoino. It's a gzeis hakasuv, and we don't necessarily try to figure out gzeis hakasuvs, but one thing is clear. If we're talking about theft, there's no mokoim to say that you're allowed to steal real estate more than you're allowed to steal a crate of oranges. It doesn't make sense. The reason why there's a difference, the reason why there can be a logical difference between the two, and the difference between Krakim and Talton is, by the way, not something that's unique to Oino, it's something that presents itself in different areas. In Halacha, it's Negea to the Halacha of taking an oath, a Shvu in Bezdin, you can only take a Shvu in Talton, not in Karka. There are various Hilchas Shomrim, being what's called a Shomer Chidam or a Shomer Socher, you can only do on movable property, a Shor, crate of oranges, a refrigerator full of meat, and so on and so forth, not on a piece of real estate. Now, of course, there is, many of the listeners will know that there is a lashon of karka einin nigzelis, but that might be relevant to just defining, how did I steal something? If I pick you up at the scruff of your neck and throw you off your property, I didn't steal it. It's not that the Torah doesn't allow for prosecution of gezel and karka, it's just that it's not stolen. I stole you from your karka. I didn't steal the karka from you. I can't take away the karka from you. In any case, the reason why there could be a difference between karka and metalton is only explainable in the context of what we just explained. The Torah protects those that are in the shuk from being taken advantage of. There's different type of shuk. The real estate market and the shuk, think old days, Machne Yehuda, the shuk in the old city of Yerushalayim, where movables are transferred, cash for goods, that type of thing, like a bazaar, a flea market, a store where you walk in, you walk out. It's not the same thing as a real estate. It's more official. You have to sign a deed, you have to sign a shtar, it's done differently, it's recorded. That type of market, the real estate market, has its own dynamic, and it says, a kosov is that over there you can't prosecute dine oino. But again, that's only because oino is understandable in that context. So karka ein lo yoino is because it's not part of what the Gemara calls the shuk in terms of movables and goods transferring from hand to hand. The Padloshan of the Pasuk is v'chisoinu ish, v'chisimku mimka la misecho, oikono miyada misecho. The Torah refers to giving something to somebody and taking something from somebody. That's a context that we only find by metalton, not by karka. But let's take that a step further afield. What about a service that's provided? Would that have I know? Certainly not nimkar miyad liyad. There's no movables. So the halach is, the Gemara says, that there is schirus, there is oino on schirus. The same way there's oino when you buy something. If I buy a car and the price is wrong, Then I could prosecute a case of my non-residence, movables. What about if I only rent the car? The Gemara says renting is the same thing as buying. The Lashon of the Gemara is Schirus Memkar L'Yoyma. So to speak, when I rent something, I'm getting a certain amount of ownership for that 30 days or a week lease, whatever the case is. Now, what most of the Rishonim, except for an obscure Shita that's brought in the Mordechai, most Rishonim, Pe'echon, and the Poiskim, and Shulchan Aruch, Reish Chav Zayin, clearly say that this distinction between Karka and Talmud is true by Schirus as well. Renting real estate, and very often people rent a room overnight, they have no idea what it's valued at. So they're not living there. They didn't do their research. They know they wanted someplace to stay for a week. They rent something and it's exorbitantly overpriced because the owner of the property knew that he could take advantage of an unsuspecting victim. In that case, is there an isser? Like we said, yes. However, is there actually the ability to get back the money and nullify the kinyan that was made? No. Ein schirus, I'm sorry, ein oino b'schirus karka for the same price. This is what the Rishonim, again, like we're saying, besides for one shita, all agree to that, and this is the way it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. However, here's a little bit of a gray area. What about a worker? The Gemara understands that a worker is also a form of karka, because in the context of the Gemara, again, various areas in Halacha, avodim dumyu de karka, a person is not movable merchandise. So if I hire myself out, I'm a day laborer, or I provide a service, and the price is exorbitant, over here, by the way, it very often works the other way. A plumber, an electrician, a service provider, knows that you don't know what's in the market. You don't know how much it costs. He only knows that you're desperate. So he provides you a service to fix a leak, and he charges you double, because he knows you're not going to ask too many questions. You need somebody now. That being said, he's going to overcharge you. Can you then not pay it? Can you go back and say, I want to be mevatel the contract in Bezdin? The halacha is avodim dumya lekarkois. Avodim dumya lekarkois. A person working, a service provider, is the same thing. By the way, just I'm putting this in parentheses. We discussed in the previous share the idea that a job, when you call somebody and you say, get over here ASAP, you're paying for that service. We're not talking about that. We're talking about just simple taking advantage of somebody. It's not 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not Erev Pesach after Chatzos. It's the regular time, the regular plumber. But he knows that you need it and you're not asking. He knows the price is better than you are. He's taking advantage of you. Comes along the Rambam, and the Rambam says a chiddush. The Rambam says there's a very big difference between a service provider and an employee, more in the classic 9-to-5 mold. When somebody's working 9-to-5, they're working for you. They're, so to speak, colloquially, of course, but the Gemara refers to it as a form of avdus. From 9-to-5 today, their time, their abilities, and their energy, and their concentration, their focus, belongs to you. If they're your eved, then they're dumya de avdus, eved dem le karka, karka en lo eno. However, says the Rambam says that when we're talking about a service provider, a plumber, an electrician, you're not paying them for 9-to-5. Or if you want to think bigger, I hire somebody to build a deck for me. I'm not paying him for the 9-to-5. He could build when he wants. If he wants, one day he could bring 5 workers. The next day he could bring 3 workers. And he could finish the job as long as he finishes it in the time context that we made up. He's not working. He's not meshubit to me. He's providing me with a finished product, a deck, a pipe that works, electricity, so on. That type of service provider is really doyma lemetalklin. The Rambam says over there is a non. This is very important. In actuality, the Ramban argues, and the Ramban says that at the end of the day, a service provider is not merchandise movables. It's not, doesn't go under the umbrella idea of a chisim kru mimkala misecha in the marketplace. So you can't prosecute that. An issur there will be, but you will not be able to be mevatel the mecca, undo it and not have to pay. It won't be nitin lihitova in bezdin. This is an important machloikas, and again, it depends if the money was paid already, you won't be able to get it back. If the money hadn't been paid yet, so then the customer could insist on being taken care of, and he could stick up for his oino, because according to the Rambam, in that case, there is oino. By the way, as an aside, it's always a fascinating topic to explore. What happens if we're talking about stock, partnership in companies, and so on and so forth? Is that called mitaltalin? Do you own, when you own stock in a company, do you own the furniture and the whatever is in the business. When you own the business, certainly according to the Rambam, you're not going to call that mitalpan. It's not nimkar miyad liyad. According to the Rambam, it's a fascinating discussion. We'll leave that over. That's complicated. Well, we mentioned that there's a difference in karka mitalpan. Very often you have a business relationship that has components of both. Reb Kivega and Pesachei Tshuva discuss what happens if I hire somebody to build something, and I hire the workers, I'm paying the workers for their time, for labor, and in the context not of that they can work whenever they want, in a, like a more of a 9-to-5 relationship, but I'm also doing business with the service provider in terms of buying materials. There's certainly going to be oino on the materials. There might not necessarily be oino on the service provider. I'll be told in the machlokes that we just said between the Rambam and the Ramban. We might point out, by the way, that this is not always so cut and dried. Very often when two people are doing a lot of volume of business, and they're doing it both on vendors and service providers and material and raw material and the work and investment and percentages. So very often it sort of all becomes one big package deal. I charge you more for this because I'm charging you less for that. I charge you more for parts, less for labor, that type of thing. Then, of course, you have to look at it not as taking advantage of somebody. You have to look at somebody in the broader context. It has to be defined whether there is an actual advantage being taken care of. We might also provide point out another piece of information that karkana is a fascinating discussion. It's really a discussion that's beyond the purview of this year, but just Lasaber Sa'izin will mention the fact that if you think about it, every house, what's a house? Now we just mentioned karka. Property is karka. What about a house? Isn't a house material primarily? I own a piece of land and I buy from somebody, or so I have somebody build a house. So on the one hand, the house is the materials and it's the labor. On the other hand, once the house is sort of glued into the ground, whatever term you want to use, the house is now part and parcel of the property. This is a fascinating discussion in Hilchos Shvuah and Shomrim and all over that's called Tolush v'Lebesoif Chibroi, something that's Tolush, it's movable. V'Lebesoif, at the end of the day, Chibroi, you made it part of the ground. Would there be a difference between a house that's built into the ground or a prefab that's brought to a piece of property and drilled, you know, by way of pipes and electrical work into the ground? Might be different. Rav Moshe has the truth about it. Again, it's beyond the subject of discussion. But I think we've made it clear that there's a lot to discuss in terms of karka metalkum. The context of what we're discussing with karka metalkum is the fact that oino is a proper sale. We gave somewhat of a gray area between where would you look at a mekach as just being pricey, overpriced in a dishonest way. And when would you look at it as a mekach that's misrepresented to the extent where I didn't buy that or I didn't sell that in the case that we discussed before with the older woman selling her house. She didn't sell that piece of property. She sold something else, in which case that's mekach tos. We'll point out one more case, which is really sort of a hakdoma to mekach tos, and that is a case the Tur brings in Reish Lamed Beis from the Tshuvas HaRosh. The case discusses two people signed on a house. Reuven Shimon, they signed on a house. Reuven hadn't seen the property. He signed on it, not having seen it. 5 weeks later, he goes to see the property. There's graffiti on the wall. There's a bunch of windows that are broken. There's a few doors that were ripped off the hinges and so on and so forth. He says to Shimon, I want to be mevatel. I didn't buy a house that... I bought a house in move-in condition. I didn't buy a house that has all sorts of damages. It could very well be, and the Tshuvas HaRosh discusses the parameters of that, is that something which is easily fixable, it's easy enough to order a few windows. Of course, if you Reuven bought the house, the client bought the house from the seller in move-in condition, so the fixing, the tikkunim, are going to be on the seller's dime. That's upgrade, that's partial. However, can the buyer, let's say, if he decided he wants out, could he then be choizer and say, mekachtos? We'll say, listen, the house is the same house. There's something here that's quite fixable. It's fixable. It's the same house. Now, if we're talking about something where there's a structural problem, there's a termite problem in the basement, and the whole basement has to be gutted, you have to start again, that's called the house is not the same house. A house where you have to gut a room or a few rooms, and you have to really redo, rip down a few walls and redo sheetrock, etc., etc., that's not the same house. Ponim chadosha is bol lekam. And then that's mekach tos. Something else. I bought house A, not the house the way it looks in situation B. But where there's a few doors and a few windows and so on and so forth, some graffiti, paint job, a few windows, door, easy enough. In a day, somebody could, a contractor could do that stuff over. That is not necessarily a different house. It's just a house that was wrongly priced. So the dime, the onus of fixing it, will be on the moichin, but that will not be rendered mekach tos.